Good evening, and welcome back to our Halloween edition of Cryptids, Killers, and Everything in Between. Today we are going to cover Jack the Ripper.
He kind of wraps up our serial killer week.
The infamous serial killer, if he was indeed a serial killer. There's a lot of theories about what he was, or what maybe even she was. But definitely one of the most heinous crimes that has never been solved. I think it hasn't been solved because it's a victim of its time. And I feel like if this would have happened modern times, we would have already had this wrapped up.
Oh, yeah.
But there are a lot of interesting things about the Ripper case. There's a lot of interesting parallels you can draw between Jack the Ripper and H.H. Holmes. So, here we go with the facts.
It's going to be a long one, I think.
So. Everybody likes a long one.
Wow. Okay. So, Jack the Ripper was an unidentified serial killer active in the largely impoverished areas in and around Whitechapel, which is a district of London, and it happened in 1888. So that tells you right there, odds are good. You're probably not going to get caught because you don't have forensics. You don't have any of that stuff.
And lots of fresh victims.
Oh, yeah, it was very overpopulated. I mean, they were just people falling all over each other.
And with overpopulation means you're probably not going to miss somebody.
Right. In both the criminal case files and contemporary journalistic accounts, the killer was called the Whitechapel Murderer, or Leather Apron. And I think a leather apron was left somewhere, and that's why that got...
Kind of stealing from Leatherface, aren't they?
This would have been way before Leatherface. Like, way, way
Maybe
before.
Maybe they stole it, then.
Maybe. Attacks credited to Jack the Ripper typically involved female prostitutes who lived and worked in the slums of the East End of London, whose throats were cut prior to abdominal mutilations. He is credited for only 5, but there's a potential 11 that could be his. The removal of internal organs from at least 3 of the victims led people to believe that their killer had some anatomical or surgical knowledge. Because you would kind of have to, right?
Yeah, especially if you're cutting the organs and removing them in a whole, and you're doing it in such a way that you know what viscera to cut, where to cut.
And some of these happened fast. So you would have to know exactly where you're cutting to take this stuff out.
Yeah. If that was his thing, is removing organs.
Well, yeah, because some of these women were seen hours before their bodies were found. And a lot of times, I think a couple times, the bodies were still found warm. So it was quick. Rumors that the murders were connected intensified in September and October of 1888. And numerous letters were received by media outlets in Scotland Yard from individuals claiming to be the murderer. I have a couple of them that I'll read. But one of them is the most popular, From Hell letter. They think that that one more than likely was from the killer.
And that's what the movie was based off of.
Oh, yeah, it was a great movie. That was a great movie. Well, no, I mean, it was based off... They did pretty good, but they went off the theory that the reason the person was never caught was because that person was connected to the royal family. Okay. And that is a legitimate theory that is out there.
Oh, yeah. I would count that as a legit theory.
Oh, yeah. Because even Queen Victoria was throwing out ideas out there trying to say, well, it was probably this or this or this, to try to get them to stop looking at her family. So, I mean, you know, you're never going to know. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're never going to know who did it. If they don't already know, they're never going to know.
Well, I think they do know. I think certain people know, and they're just like, keep that quiet.
Yeah, yeah. And it probably was. I mean, if that's the case, then...
Because even today, that would still be a huge blemish.
Oh, yeah.
On the royal family. Oh, even yeah. though, you know, I mean, it's not like you can tie them to that, you know.
Oh, you never would have been able to. You never would have been able to. But even if it was like a upper class, like an aristocrat or something, that would have been kept. Like, there was, I think there were clubs that did shit like this. So you would never know. And they picked the perfect place to do it. Because like I said, there's people everywhere. There's prostitutes everywhere. And nobody really cares, even then, if a prostitute dies. The name Jack the Ripper originated in a letter written by a person claiming to be the murderer. So he named himself. The letter is widely believed to have been a hoax and may have been written by a journalist in an attempt to get more interest in the story and increase newspaper sales. I have that letter. I think that's the Dear Boss letter. And the Dear Boss letter in the Scary Jackie, I think, or Crazy, I can't remember what it was called. It was a postcard. I have it written down and I'll get to the correct name of it. Those are said to be written by the same journalist because the handwriting was very close. And they think that those two are not really from the Ripper.
Well, and that's another tie to H.H. Holmes because he changed his name several times.
Exactly. And here's my aliases. Thing. Why do you discount it a journalist? Why discount a journalist? Because those two letters knew stuff before it happened. So how would the journalist know that if he wasn't actually the murderer? And a good journalist, wouldn't they look into, like, if they're writing about that kind of stuff?
Their source.
Wouldn't they look into, like, surgical procedures and stuff like that so they know what they're talking about?
Depends. I mean, I don't know what they did back then. I'm assuming today it's a lot more easier to get that information. A lot more easy to get that information.
Yeah, well. The From Hell letter received by George Lusk came with a half of a preserved human kidney supposedly taken from one of the victims.
That's a gift.
Yeah, he's just sharing. Yeah. The public came to believe that a single serial killer known as Jack the Ripper, because of his extraordinarily brutal nature of the murders and media coverage of the crimes. So, all of it, even if it wasn't him, it all got tied to him because it was all happening around the same time. And
when, in fact, it could have been multiple.
It could have been. And they said that some of these, because there was a bunch of murders that were happening at the same time. And I talked about a couple of them in here. They say that you could have had copycats.
Sure.
Or it could have been him the whole time. Refining how he wanted to do it, because sometimes serial killers will get progressively worse because you've got four murders that are relatively the same, and then you got Mary Kelly, the last one, who was fucked up. And how you can tie that one to Jack, I don't know, because I mean, she, I'll talk about it, but she got it bad.
Well, and it's also, too, a way to wrap up the murders, and they're not left out there.
Like, right.
Like little, you know, danglers, you know. It's, well, it all happened around the same time, somewhat similar. So let's just attribute it to Jack the Ripper.
Because, you know, I think after hers.
The umbrella.
Yeah.
Of all the murders, so you don't have a dingleberry hanging back there.
Oh, my God. And I think after hers, they were done. But, like we were talking about the other day when we were talking about this, if you have specific people that you want to get rid of, you're going to kill other people in that first before you do them. That way, nobody's looking real close at them.
That's how I do it. Absolutely.
Wow.
That's how I do it. Just throw you off the scent there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you do have murder plans for people, so maybe I should be a little worried. A police investigation into a series of 11 brutal murders committed in Whitechapel and Spitefields between 1888 and 1891. They were unable to connect all the killings to the murders of 1888. So they tried to take those 11 cases because they were similar in some aspects. So they thought maybe the same person did it, but they had trouble getting all of them into the same category, I guess. The five victims that are typically associated with the Ripper are Mary Ann Nichols, Annie Chapman, Elizabeth Strode, K- Catherine Eddowes and Mary Jane Kelly. They are known as the Canonical Five, and their murders between August 31st and November 9th, 1888, are considered to be done by the same person.
I like how they have special code names for such heinous stuff. I like it. The Canonical Five sounds like a team.
Yeah, I don't know why they came. I don't know how they came up with that. I didn't even think to look into how they came up with that or why they did.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like you're celebrating it. I don't understand why you would celebrate something like that.
Or maybe it was a way to...
Like Jack the Ripper sounds so, I don't know, makes him almost sound supernatural when I think he should have just been called Jack the Fuckface.
Okay, well, honestly, are there serial killers that don't have names?
No, I'm just saying, though, why do we glorify him by giving him these cool names?
I don't know. That just makes him keep going.
Eh.
Well, he kind of gave himself that.
We'll just call him Little Sissy Fuckface.
It's just, I don't know, because you would think if you're giving them that much attention, they're not going to stop. Unless, like I said, he had certain people he had to get rid of.
Or the toy box killer. Oh, well, let's just call him that. I don't have a penis killer.
He's such a piece of shit.
I'm just saying. I mean, we glorify. And then the victim's court. The Canonical Five. The Canonical, what? What does that even mean?
I honestly think that they just called them that so that they could separate them from the rest of them so that you knew those were the suspected Ripper.
I think it's so horrible. I do. I think stuff like that's horrible. They shouldn't glorify these fucking serial killers.
They shouldn't, but people do.
Okay.
And then you've got women that, you know, want to go in there and fuck the serial killers while they're in prison.
I bet that didn't happen with Jack.
Well, the Jack was never caught. I mean, you'll see, like, some of these people were arrested for some of these because they were associated with them, but they were let go because they couldn't. You know.
Now, are you going to go over where these people were murdered?
I think, yeah, I say where they.
I mean, was it outside?
Oh, they were all out. Mary Kelly was the only one inside. Everybody else was
outside. So that means it is overpopulated. So how much time do you really have?
Well, I mean, think about it. Prostitutes back then, it was. You would just take them to any dark corner you could find.
Oh, really?
You would do your business, then you would come back for the next person.
Okay.
Because that's how they fed themselves and had a place to stay at night and got their gin. I mean, because gin was really bad at this point. Because people were just drinking away the fact that they had no homes. Yeah. They had no jobs. So they just drank themselves to death in the street. And like we've said, the murders have never been solved and more than likely will never be solved.
How could it at this point?
Right, because, I mean, you still have evidence. They still somehow still have some evidence from, like, clothes or stuff that they had. But so many people have handled it in this time, because this was, what, over 100 years ago.
Until we can travel time, we'll probably never know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's just, you can do, because I know somebody, they just did a DNA test on one of the victims' pieces of clothing. And got a match to somebody. How? I don't know. But odds are it was just somebody that happened to be at the crime scene at the time. Because
DNA transfers that way too.
Right. And I mean, it's not like today where you cordon off a crime scene and you keep people out of it. I mean, there are people walking all over these crime scenes. Getting close to the bodies and stuff. So you can't trust the DNA now. And they've tried to... DNA the letters, like the envelopes from the letters and stuff, but there just wasn't enough, or it's eroded. Is that the one? Over time, it's just there's
so
nothing there.
When did the first murder take place?
Well, I'm getting to that. Like we've been talking about, the parish of Whitechapel in London's East End became increasingly overcrowded, with the population increasing to about 80,000 people in 1888. Work and housing conditions worsened, and a significant economic underclass developed. 55% of the children born in the East End died before they were 5 years old. Robbery, violence, and alcohol dependency were commonplace, and the poverty drove many women to prostitution to survive on a daily basis. In October 1888, London's Metropolitan Police Service estimated that there were 62 brothels and 1,200 women working as prostitutes in Whitechapel, with approximately 8,500 people residing in the 233 common lodging houses within Whitechapel every night, and they had to pay a nightly price every night. So, just that alone is a serial killer's playground, because there's people everywhere. So, you're going to be able to come and go and not be remembered because there's so many people. And if you're seen with the prostitute, I mean, you're one of how many that's been seen with her that night.
Right.
Or around her that night. So, I mean, you're just, it's too many people. The economic problems in Whitechapel were accompanied by a steady rise in social tension. So you had your wealthy and your poor was really starting to divide people then.
Oh, like we are now?
Right, I guess. Between 1886 and 1889, frequent demonstrations led to police intervention and public unrest, such as Bloody Sunday. I think that was cops killed a lot of people that day, and people killed a lot of cops that day. Because they were just protesting the fact that they had nothing and nobody was helping them to get to where they could have something.
Why the rich got richer.
Right. Anti-Semitism, which will come up, crime, nativism, racism, social disturbance, and severe deprivation influenced public perceptions that Whitechapel was a notorious den of immorality. So that's kind of, that would have been your slums, I guess. Nothing good came out of Whitechapel, I guess is what they're saying. You want to get murdered, go to Whitechapel. You want to get robbed, go to Whitechapel. Such perceptions were strengthened in the autumn of 1888 when the series of vicious and grotesque murders done by Jack the Ripper started happening. The large number of attacks against women in the East End during this time adds uncertainty to how many victims were murdered by the same individual. So, because there were just so many. But there's 11 separate murders stretching from April 3rd, 1888 to February 13th, 1891. Were included in London Metropolitan Police Service's investigation and were known collectively in the police docket as the Whitechapel Murders. Those are the ones, the Whitechapel Murders were the ones that they thought he was good for. Because I think that included the five that he was pretty good for. Or somebody was taking credit for.
Or it was the same person. We don't know if it was male or female.
Odds are good that it was male because a female would have been able to overpower another female.
You don't know that.
Well, I mean, you don't know that, but I don't. A lot of these women wouldn't have walked off with another woman unless they were friends. Because I'm wanting to say, even though in the From Hell it depicts these five women as knowing each other, I'm pretty sure they actually did. So that's why they would go off with them. Because they know the dangers in it. They know that, because they got beat all the time, so they know it's not a good thing.
Wouldn't that be a link that they all knew each other?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's a possible one, but they would say that all the prostitutes operating around there probably knew each other.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's just, and if you're killing these five because they know each other and might know something, you're going to try to throw the smell off of that. Opinions vary as to whether these murders should be linked to the same culprits, but five of the 11 Whitechapel murders, known as the Canonical Five, are believed to be the work of the Ripper. So, they really tried to get more on him. Experts point out that the deep slash wounds to the throat, followed by extensive abdominal and genital area mutilation, the removal of internal organs, and progressive facial mutilations as the destructive features of the Ripper's signature. But like I said, he could have started and then got to the point where he started doing all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like his thing was to do a killing strike, and then he liked to remove the organs. He had a fascination with those, and then he liked to disfigure.
Yeah, your throat was first. Yeah. He cut the throat first, and then after that was done, and he was pretty sure you were dead is when he started all the other stuff. So, I mean, I guess they should be thankful for that. That he killed you quick and then did the rest of the shit. And of course, he would have to, because if he's doing it outside, you're going to want to quiet him quick, because if you start hacking into him, they're going to scream their bloody heads off. And somebody will come running.
It just seems like the facial mutilation, stuff like that.
Well, it could be you're trying to... It could be that...
It just seems like it's very personal, or...
You're trying to...
Rage.
Rage, or you're trying to make sure they're not identified.
But at that point, I mean, who cares? I mean, you know what I mean? Just because they were so overpopulated and because of their profession.
Well, I mean, if you're trying to get rid of a certain group of people, you're going to do it to where... You know,
and it almost seems like it's really pinpointed in on sex workers.
Oh yeah, it was all the women that of the 11. I think they were all sex workers.
I mean, how many times has a sex worker been the target of a serial killer? To me, that seems to not be the business.
Yeah, don't do it. Just don't do it. I mean, even if you do it the safe way with these like escort services and shit today, you're still getting get hacked up.
It does not seem like a good profession.
That's why I would never get into an Uber car. You don't know that you're not getting in the car with a serial killer?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it.
It just too high risk, man. Now that we've researched a lot of these, it just seems like this is...
Hitchhiking? Not a great idea.
Yeah.
I mean, not a great idea.
There's activities and professions that, really, if you've researched enough of these, you know to stay away from.
Yeah, just don't do it. Don't do it. Truck stops? Yeah, call a taxi. And even a taxi, I'd be scared to get into anymore. The first two cases in the Whitechapel murder file are those of Emma Elizabeth Smith and Martha Trambum. They are not included in the Chronicle 5, but I think of the 11, these two are probably pretty good for him. Smith was robbed and sexually assaulted in Osborne Street, Whitechapel, at around 1:30 a.m. on April 3rd of 1888. She had been bludgeoned about the face and received a cut to her ear. A blunt object was inserted into her vagina, rupturing her... What did you say that was?
Peritoneum.
Which is what?
That's actually like the lining of your stomach. That's your... The insides of your innards.
That would have killed her. Just that rupturing.
Eventually.
It wouldn't have killed her fast?
I mean, it depends. If she bled out and sanguinated, sure, but... Also, I mean, if not, then she would have had a horrible infection and died a painful death within 48 hours.
Well, they would have anyway back then, because what did they know about infection control and all that stuff? Or antibiotics. I don't even think they had antibiotics in 1888.
I'm sure they had penicillin.
Was that?
Maybe.
Well, she died the following day in a London hospital because of an infection. Smith stated that she had been attacked by two or three men, one of whom she described as a teenager. So maybe not too much for her.
Maybe.
This case was thought to be linked to the Ripper, but most experts think it's just gang violence, because that was pretty rampant through the...
Well, and he didn't do anything like that with anybody else.
Yeah, he never sexually assaulted any of them.
Because that's not what it was about for him, it doesn't seem like.
But they do say that the crimes could have been sexually motivated, but he did not sexually assault any of them. Because of all the disfigurement to the genital area, and they said that, because you know some psychiatrists will say, and I think I mentioned it in here, that just the in and out of the constant knife wounds would be sexual pleasure for them. So you just, you never know. You never know. The case was thought... Yeah, that's what I said. The other one was murdered on a staircase landing in George Yard, Whitechapel, on August 7th, 1888. She had suffered 39 stab wounds to her throat, lungs, heart, liver, spleen, stomach, and abdomen, with more knife wounds inflicted to her breast and vagina. Now, that one, I think, could be a Ripper.
Probably.
It could be. All but one of Tambram's wounds had been inflicted with a bladed instrument, such as a penknife, and with one possible exception, all the wounds had been inflicted by a right-handed individual, and she had not been raped. So just the amount of stab wounds, where the stab wounds were at, and the fact that she had not been sexually assaulted.
Was this one before the other?
Yeah, this was one of the first two.
So maybe.
I'm thinking he could be good for that one.
Maybe that was his.
The savagery of this murder, the lack of obvious motive, and the closeness of the location and the date to the other Ripper murders led police to link this murder to those later committed by the Ripper. I think that's probably a pretty good assumption. I think he's probably good for that one. The first one, probably not, because she lived long enough to say that three or four guys did it, and one was young. So, and she was sexually assaulted. So I think he's not good for that one.
No.
But this murder differs from the later murders because although she had been repeatedly stabbed, she had not suffered any slash wounds to her throat or abdomen. I mean, she'd been stabbed in the stomach, but not like slash open. But then again, you gotta wonder, first murder, he may not have had time to do that stuff. Or maybe didn't even have the inclination yet to do that one. Or because of how this one went, you later get your slashes across the throat. Because if she made too much noise, if this one made too much noise, you're gonna wanna quiet him up sooner.
Sure.
And because, you know, she didn't have the slash wounds to her neck and the abdomen, a lot of people are trying to say she had nothing to do with the other five. The canonical five are, like I said, Marianne Nichols, Annie Chapman, Elizabeth Stride, Catherine Eddowes, and Mary Jane Kelly. The body of Marianne Nichols was discovered at about 3:40 a.m. on Friday, August 31st, 1888 in Bucks Row. So she's outside. Nichols had last been seen alive approximately an hour before the discovery of her body by a Miss Emily Holland, with who she had previously shared a bed at a common lodging house in Thrall Street. So they would like sleep a couple to a bed, so she knew her. So since she had shared a room with her, she's going to know what she looks like, and she's going to be able to positively identify, yeah, I seen her, when she seen her, and if she was with anybody. Her throat was severed by two deep cuts, she was completely severed all the way down to the tissue of the vertebrae. So she was damn near decapitated.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Her vagina had been stabbed twice, and the lower part of her abdomen was partially ripped open by a deep, jagged wound, causing her bowels to protrude. Gross. Several other incisions inflicted to both sides of her abdomen had also been caused by the same knife. Each of these wounds had been inflicted in a downward thrusting manner. I'm assuming that's...
Inflicted?
Well,
Yeah,
I'm assuming that's going to be like a signature or how you can tell. Maybe, yeah. If it's more, it's the same people doing more than one.
Yeah, it's coming from the same place. It's where the stab marks are at. It's how deep they are. It's basically saying he's over top of the person or...
They're on the ground and he's... Yeah. Okay. A week later, on Saturday, September 8th, 1888, the body of Annie Chapman was discovered at about 6 a.m. near the steps to the doorway of the backyard of 29 Hanbury Street. As with the case of Mary Ann, the throat was severed by two deep cuts. Her abdomen had been cut entirely open with a section of skin and flesh, plus her small intestines being removed and placed above her right shoulder. Chapman's autopsy also revealed that her uterus and sections of her bladder and vagina had been removed.
Sections?
Yeah, like he only took parts of it. Like, he didn't take the entire thing, he just took some of it.
That in itself would be difficult if it's cut surgically.
Right. And then, if all of this happened to her, who's to say that the first one was actually the Ripper? Just because of the cutthroat?
Yeah, but it also, I mean, if not, then his first murder is very precise. So, either this was a real serial killer who had practice on other victims that just he didn't get credit for,
Or this is his potential third victim, and that's why it's so involved.
And also, it sounds more refined.
He's refining his technique with each victim as
which
he goes.
Leads me to believe that these are not his first murders. I mean, really, to have that kind of time, to have that kind of precision, to know exactly where you're going.
Or to do it that fast, because the one, there was an hour.
Or you're a professional killer. This is your job. This is what you do.
You're sent to clean stuff up.
And you need to make it look as heinous as possible. So that's what you're going to do.
Oh, that makes sense, too. At the inquest into Chapman's murder, Elizabeth Long described having seen Chapman standing outside 29 Hanbury Street at about 5:30 a.m. She was in the company of a dark-haired man wearing a brown deerstalker hat and dark overcoat and of shabby genteel appearance. This is the same description that is with most of these women. This person has been seen with most of these women. And the shabby genteel, meaning that he was obviously of the upper class, but maybe not very, like, he wasn't wearing his best clothes to come there. Right. So he's just shabbily dressed, but they could tell from how he was standing, how he was carrying himself, that he was of the upper class. According to this eyewitness, the man had asked Chapman the question, "Will you?" To which Chapman replied, "Yes." Meaning, because she was a prostitute.
Are we
going to do this? Because that just gives you a half hour. Because she was last seen at 5:30 and her body was found at, what, 6?
Yeah.
So he did all of that within a half hour. That seems a little fast, doesn't it?
It does.
To be able to take the intestine and put it over her shoulder and to, remove stuff and take some of it. You're very distracting. Okay, where was I? Elizabeth Strode and Kathleen Eddowes were both killed in the early morning hours of Sunday, September 30th, 1888. So he did a double one that night. Strode's body was discovered at about 1 a.m. in Dunfield's yard off Burner Street. The cause of death was a single clear-cut incision measuring 6 inches across her neck, which had severed her left carotid artery and her trachea before terminating beneath her right jaw. So, damn. The absence of any further mutilations to her body has led to uncertainty as to whether her murder was even committed by the Ripper or if he was interrupted during the attack. Like, he only got to cut her neck and that was it. Edo's body was found in Martyr Square 3/4 of an hour after the discovery of the body of Elizabeth Strode. So that's pretty quick. Her throat was severed and her abdomen ripped open by a long, deep, and jagged wound before her intestines had been placed again over her right shoulder.
So that seems to be a thing.
That's, yeah. You can connect that one to the other one that had it over her right shoulder. The left kidney and the major part of the uterus had been removed, and her face had been disfigured with her nose severed, her cheeks slashed, and cuts measuring 1/4 of an inch and a half. Respectively, vertically, and ceased through her eyelids. So, he just messed her face up. He cut her eyes up, he cut her cheek, he cut her nose. It's a mess. That seems like a crime of passion almost, right?
Mm-hmm.
To do that, to spend that kind of time on her face? A triangular incision, the apex of which pointed towards Edo's eye, had also been carved upon each of her cheeks, and a section of her earlobe had been cut off and was later recovered from her clothing. So he cut some of her ear off and just it fell into her dress. The police surgeon who conducted the postmortem upon Edo's body stated his opinion that these mutilations would have taken at least 5 minutes to complete. Wouldn't you think it would take more than five minutes to do that? Or is he
not
just...
Not if you're...
Or is he just talking like the disfigurement to her face and her ear would take 5 minutes?
No, I mean, if he knows exactly where he's going, got a sharp
All knife, of it could take 5 minutes?
Sharp enough knife.
Whew. A section of Edo's bloodied apron was found at the entrance to a tenement in Gulston Street. And here is where the chalk inscription was. A chalk inscription upon the wall directly above this piece of apron read, and I quote, "The Jews are the men that will not be blamed for nothing." End quote.
What does that even mean?
Well, I think they were trying to start that, because you remember I said that there was a lot of anti-Semitism going on here.
Yeah.
So maybe he was trying to get them to look at the Jewish people.
So he's a racist.
Oh, probably. Or he just knows that a lot of people there are.
Mm-hmm.
So he's writing that. This graffiti became known as the Gulston Street graffiti. The message appeared to imply that a Jew or Jews in general were responsible for the series of murders, but it was unclear whether the graffiti was written by the murderer. Yep, that too. By the murderer on dropping the section of apron, or was merely incidental and nothing to do with the case. Like, it could have already been there when he dropped the apron and he just dropped it. Or he actually put it there. But either way, there was a bloody apron found where the words were. The police commissioner, Charles Warren, feared the graffiti might spark anti-Semitic riots and ordered the writing to be washed away before dawn. The extensively mutilated and disemboweled body of Mary Jane Kelly was discovered lying on the bed in the single room where she lived at 10:45 a.m. on Friday, November 9th, 1888. So she could have been so messed up because it was inside and he had all bloody night to do it.
That's true.
Her face had been hacked beyond all recognition, with her throat severed down to the spine.
There it is right there.
And the abdomen almost emptied of its organs.
Yep. See, he's got something about the sex organs, the abdomen organs, the throat slashing, the facial disfigurement, putting the bowels over the right shoulder.
Uh-huh.
All of that is significant. Or, again, conspiracy theory, tinfoil hat. Well, this is a professional killer, and this is how they're going to throw people off the scent.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to make it look like a serial-type murder. That's before there was serial murders. Like,
well, I mean, identified. There were serial murders, but they identified. Just didn't know... Yeah, they just didn't know what to call them. Her uterus, kidneys, and one breast had been placed beneath her head, and other viscera from her body placed beside her foot. About the bed and sections of her abdomen and thighs upon the bedside table. Her heart was missing.
See, I feel like that means something.
Oh, he placed her shit everywhere.
But I feel like it means something. There's something significant as to why he placed those items there.
Maybe he was just putting them in places, didn't get them out of his way so he could get what he wanted.
Under her head?
Oh, well. Maybe he was giving her a pillow.
Yes. A little fleshy pillow.
Exactly. Her heart was missing from the crime scene. Each of the canonical five murders were perpetrated at night, on or close to a weekend, either at the end of a month or week after. They're saying that could be, you know, significant. The mutilations became increasingly severe as the series of murders proceeded, except for that of Stride, whose attacker may have been interrupted. Nichols was not missing any organs. Chapman's uterus and sections of her bladder and vagina were taken. Eddowes had her uterus and left kidney removed and her face mutilated. Kelly's body was extensively eviscerated, with her face gashed in all directions and the tissue of her neck being severed to the bone, although the heart was the sole body organ missing from her crime scene. Can you imagine the amount of blood with her crime scene?
Oh, that would be just terrible. Terrible. Buckets.
I mean, you'd be buckets. Walking through it. It'd be dripping buckets. Into the floor.
Again, that's why they wouldn't be caught. Back then, but today, they would be caught.
Oh, yeah, there'd be fingerprints all over the place. Mary Jane Kelly is genuinely considered to be the Ripper's final victim, and it is assumed that the crimes ended because of the culprit's death, imprisonment, institutionalization, or immigration. So somebody killed him, he got put in prison, he got put in the mental hospital, or he just left.
Well, I'm sure you're going to get it. You know what? We'll come back to it. Go ahead.
The Whitechapel murder files details another 4 murders which occurred after the canonical 5. Those of Rose Milet, Alice McKenzie, and the Pushin' Street Torso, and Francis Coles. The strangled body of a 26-year-old Rose Milet was found in Clark's Yard, High Street, on December 20th, 1888. She was strangled, so I don't really think that she could be one, but maybe. There was no sign of a struggle, and the police believe that she had either accidentally hanged herself with her collar while in a drunken stupor or committed suicide. Wow.
You gotta be really fucking drunk.
However, faint markings left by a cord on one side of her neck suggested she had been strangled. At the inquest into her death, the jury returned a verdict of murder.
Okay.
But nobody was charged. Alice McKenzie was murdered shortly after midnight on July 17, 1889 in Castle Alley. She had suffered 2 stab wounds to her neck and her left carotid artery had been severed. Several minor bruises and cuts were found on her body, which also bore a 7-inch long superficial wound extending beneath her left breast to her navel. So she could have potentially been one. Because it seems like in the process of opening up and maybe got interrupted. One of the examining pathologists, Thomas Bond, which I'll bring him up later, believed this to be a Ripper murder, though his colleague, George Bankster Phillips, who had examined the bodies of the 3 previous victims, disagreed, of course. Pension Street Torso was a decomposing headless and legless torso of an unidentified woman aged between 30 and 40, discovered between a railway arch and Pension Street on September 30th, 1889. Bruising about the victim's back, hip, and arm indicated the deceased had been extensively beaten shortly before her death.
That's not something he did either.
Right, and he didn't hack him like disfigure them like that. The victim's abdomen had also been extensively mutilated, although her genitals had not been wounded. So you can see how they're thinking maybe possibly because of some of the stuff, but not so much because of everything else. She had appeared to have been killed approximately 1 day prior to the discovery of her torso. The dismembered sections of her body are believed to have been transported to the railway arch hidden under an old chemise that she wore. That was like a
slip.
It's a slip that they did everything in it. At 2:15 a.m. on February 13th, 1891, a 25-year-old prostitute named Frances Coles was found lying beneath a railway arch at Shallow Gardens. Her throat had been deeply cut, but her body was not mutilated, leading some to believe Thompson had disturbed her assailant. Coles was still alive, although she died before medical help could arrive. In addition to the 11 Whitechapel murders, there have been others possibly linked to the Ripper. The case of Fairy Fay is unclear.
Is that a gay guy?
No. Fairy, shut up. Whether this attack was real or fabricated is a part of the Ripper lore. And this kind of ties you back to one of the first ones I told you about. Fairy Fay was a nickname given to an unidentified woman whose body was allegedly found in a doorway close to Commercial Road on December 26, 1887, after a stake had been thrust through her abdomen. But there were no recorded murders in Whitechapel at or around Christmas in 1887. Oh. Fairy Fay seems to have been created through a confused press report of the murder of Emma Elizabeth Smith, who we talked about earlier, who had a stick or blunt object shoved into her vagina. Some people believe that Fairy Fae never even existed. Hmm. So that was a reporter that thought something happened but confused it with an earlier story. And instead of saying Jane Doe, they said Fairy Fae.
Oh, okay. So that's like saying Jane Doe.
Yeah. Because they didn't know who it was. A 38-year-old widow named Annie Millwood was admitted to the Whitechapel Workhouse Infirmary with numerous stab wounds to her legs and lower torso on February 25th, 1888, informing staff she had been attacked with a clasp knife by an unknown man. She was later discharged but died from apparently natural causes on March 31st. So she goes into the hospital on February 25th and gets discharged, but then dies March 31st.
Oh, that shit still happens today.
It probably wasn't. No, well, I guess it could have been natural causes due to the poor care that she received from the hospital.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like they checked things out very thoroughly. And didn't have the means, really.
Right. Millwood was later postulated to be the Ripper's first victim, although this attack cannot be definitely linked to the perpetrator. So it's like him first trying. Mm-hmm. So you can tie two or three of these 11 to him apart from the five. So he seems to be a good candidate for a couple of them.
Depending on when they happen.
Well, this one would have been the one, I think, that kicked it off. Because she happened before the five.
Because I can't imagine you're going to go into being a serial killer and having your technique and everything perfect the first time.
Yeah, she was done in February, and I'm wanting to say the first one of the five was in, what, September or October, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, she would have been the first one.
That makes sense.
After another suspected victim was a young dressmaker named Ada Wilson, who reportedly survived being stabbed twice in the neck with a clasp knife again.
That seems to be an instrument of choice.
Yeah. Upon the doorstep of her home on March 28th, 1881. A further suspected pre-canonical victim, Annie Farmer, resided at the same lodging house as Martha Tambram and reported an attack on November 21st, 1888. So, she could be one, too. She had received a superficial cut to her throat, although an unknown man with blood on his mouth and hands had run out of his lodging house shouting, "Look what she has done," before two eyewitnesses heard Farmer scream. Her wound was more than likely self-inflicted. So she fucked that guy up, he ran out, and then she hurt herself.
Well,
so she could blame the guy. The Whitehall mystery was a term coined for the discovery of a headless torso of a woman on October 2nd, 1888. So this was happening during October 88, was during the time of when the other five were happening. In the basement of the new Metropolitan Police headquarters being built in Whitehall. What kind of a slap in the face is that? Hey, I'm gonna leave you a dead body in your brand new building before you even get in it.
Kind of like a cat bringing you a dead bird.
Which happens all the time. An arm and shoulder belonging to the body were previously discovered floating in the River Thames on September 11th, and the left leg was subsequently discovered buried near where the torso was found on October 17th. The other limbs and head were never recovered, and the body was never identified. The mutilations were similar to those in the Pension Street torso case, where the legs and head were severed, but not the arms. Both the Whitehall mystery and the Pension Street case may have been part of a series of murders called the Thames Mysteries, committed by a single serial killer dubbed the Torso Killer. So that tells you right there, you got two damn serial killers working at the same time.
I would say so. Yeah, I mean, even the Ripper murders could have been more than just the Ripper. It could have been a group of people.
It could have, but you've got too many similarities, I think, to be more than one person.
It almost seems ritualistic.
Yeah, but I don't think he's good for the ones where body parts, you know, like the arms and legs and shit are being severed. I don't think that's him. So you probably had another one, because you've got more than one body like that, so you've probably got...
Well, at any given time, how many serial killers are there?
Well, in the 50, in the U.S., they say there's at least 50 active
at any given time.
And if they're good, you never catch them, and they die of old age. Just like the one guy almost did, what was he, the original Night Stalker, is that what he was?
Is it the Golden State?
The Golden State Killer or something?
Yeah.
Gary
Ridgway.
Yeah.
It was the guy who was a cop.
Yeah. He's like old now, and they were able to find him because of
the DNA.
Backwards DNA or something. So it's debatable whether Jack the Ripper and the Torso Killer were the same person or separate serial killers active in the same time. I think you got two separate killers active at the same time.
I believe that. Absolutely.
Elizabeth Jackson was a prostitute whose various body parts were collected from the River Thames over a three-week period in June of 1889.
A three what?
Three-week.
Wick.
Week.
Wick.
Shut up. She may have also been another victim of your torso murderer. That was right in my mouth.
Oh, well, good.
On December 29th, 1888, the body of a 7-year-old boy named John Gill was found in a stable block. The boy's legs had been severed and his abdomen opened, his intestines drawn out, and his heart and one ear was removed.
Didn't sound like a Ripper.
Yeah, there was actually a guy that was arrested twice for that, but released because there was just no, you know, evidence pointing to him actually having done it. But I guess they're wanting to try to say potential Ripper because of abdomen being open and shit pulled out. Similarities with the Ripper murders led people to think that the Ripper had killed him, but he never killed kids. He went after prostitutes.
Yeah, he had a problem with sex workers.
Yeah. Carrie Brown was strangled with clothing and then mutilated with a knife on April 24th, 1891 in New York City. Her body was found with a large tear through her groin area and superficial cuts to her legs and back. No organs were removed from the scene, though an ovary was found upon the bed, either purposely removed or unintentionally dislodged. So that, I think, also helps lead to people thinking that Holmes could have been the Ripper because...
Well, not to mention he got to England.
He would have had to, I'm almost positive, he would have had to have left through New York.
Right. But he got to England at the time the Ripper murder started, and when he left, they stopped.
Right, and then as soon as he left and then gets back into the States, you've got a body in New York. That has similarities to the bodies in Whitechapel. So it just seems kind of odd. At the time the murder was committed, it was compared to those in Whitechapel, though of course the Metropolitan Police ruled out any connection.
Well, they've been pretty good up to this point.
Right, and they're not going to want anybody to think that this killer slipped right through their fingers and left Whitechapel and went to the States. The investigation was initially conducted by the Metropolitan Police Whitechapel Division, Criminal Investigation Department, and headed by Detective Inspector Edmund Reed. After the murder of Nichols, Detective Inspectors Frederick Aberline, Henry Moore, and Walter Andrews were sent from Central Office at Scotland Yard to assist. Aberline was mentioned in From Hell, wasn't he? Wasn't he one of the cops?
Yeah.
Whew. The City of London Police were involved under Detective Inspector James McWilliam after the Eddowes murder, which occurred within the City of London. The overall direction of the murder inquiries was hampered by the fact that the newly appointed head of the CID, Robert Anderson, was on leave in Switzerland between September 7th and October 6th, during the time when Chapman, Strode, and Eddowes were killed. This prompted Metropolitan Police Commissioner Sir Charles Warren to appoint Chief Inspector Donald Swanson to coordinate the inquiry from Scotland Yard. So he picked the perfect time to do this shit because the head of the police wasn't even there.
Well, I'm that's probably a coincidence.
It probably is, unless it's not, and you're meant to think it is. Because you just don't know. Butchers, slaughterers, surgeons, and physicians were suspected because of the manner in which the mutilations happened. Some contemporary figures, including Queen Victoria, thought the pattern of the murders indicated that the culprit was a butcher or cattle drover on one of the cattle boats that plied between London and mainland Europe. Because Whitechapel was right there at the docks. Whitechapel was close to the London docks, and usually such boats docked on Thursday or Friday and departed on Saturday and Sunday. Because you remember they said that a lot of these murders happened on weekends. And at, you know, end of the month or the week following the end of the month.
That's a pattern.
The cattle boats were examined, but the dates of the murders did not coincide with a single boat's movement, and the transfer of a crewman between boats was also ruled out. But it could have been multiple boats in at one time. So you just don't know. Police Surgeon Thomas Bond, who we talked about a little bit ago, was strongly opposed to the idea that the murderer possessed any kind of scientific or anatomical knowledge, or even the technical knowledge of a butcher or horse slaughterer. In his opinion, the killer must have been a man of solitary habits, subject to periodical attacks of homicidal and erotic mania, with the character of the mutilations possibly indicating a pattern. Bond also stated,
"I'm James Bond."
Not shaken, that Bond.
Shaken, not stirred.
Not that Bond.
007.
Really?
That's what they call me.
Oh, Lord. When you're done, get it out of your system. Is it out?
Yep.
Okay. So he stated that the homicidal... Oh, my Lord. The homicidal impulse may have developed from a revengeful or brooding condition of the mind, or that religious mania may have been the original disease, but I do not think either hypothesis is likely.
So he's fucking crazy.
Well, I kind of, you can tell that from how he's killing people. And what the hell is religious mania?
He's a fanatic.
Yeah, well, aren't they all? There is no evidence the perpetrator engaged in sexual activity with any of the victims. And like I said earlier, that psychologists suppose that the penetration of the victims with a knife and leaving them on display in sexually degrading positions...
Degrading.
Well, that's what I said. With the wounds exposed, indicates that the killer derived sexual pleasure from the attacks. Really? How could they possibly know that?
What are the reasons for them to do that?
It could just be that he hated women.
Could be.
He had mommy issues like a lot of serial killers do.
Mama.
I'm serious. How many serial killers have we heard
if
about that
hate... If you're breastfeeding at 30, you are fucked up.
Well, you shouldn't still be breastfeeding. Who? What?
Huh?
What?
I didn't say.
Some people think the Ripper was a local and had employment because of when the murders happened and where they happened. I mean, it would make sense if he was a local because he would know how to get around and maybe know, like, little hidey holes to get away from the cops. Because odds are good he was probably with the people milling around looking at the crime scenes.
Probably.
Because, I mean, we find that a lot, that some killers will watch what's happening or try to insert themselves in the investigation and what's going on. Others thought the killer was an educated upperclassman, possibly a doctor or an aristocrat. Which kind of is messed up. Such theories draw on cultural perceptions such as fear of the medical profession, mistrust of modern science, or the rich-poor thing. The suspects proposed years after the murders include virtually anyone remotely connected to the case. There were even famous names who were never considered in the police investigation, including a member of the British royal family, which could be why Queen Victoria put her two cents in on saying it was probably boat workers. There are many varied theories about the identity and profession of Jack the Ripper, but authorities are not agreed upon any of them, and the number of named suspects reaches over 100. So you can't list them all. I mean, you just can't. But they did, question a bunch of, you know, your butchers and your slaughterers and stuff that were in the area. I think there was like 75 to 100 of them total. And they went and questioned them all. But they all had reliable alibis for the time of the murders.
Good.
Despite continued interest in the case, the Ripper's identity remains unknown. And out of this, the term Ripperology was coined to describe the study and analysis of the Ripper cases. And the murders have, of course, inspired numerous works of fiction. Like the From Hell movie.
Right.
Which, honestly, was a great movie. And I had never even heard of that theory until that movie.
Yeah, me either, to be honest.
But then after that, I started seeing it. But before that, I had never heard of that theory. I mean, it makes sense as to why the killer was never caught. But I think it was a professional killer that was sent to kill some people, and he had certain ones he had to kill, but killed more so that they didn't look at the ones he had to take out. Because if there's just a murder here or there, they're going to be really looked at. But if there's a lot, you're not going to know what the hell's going on or who to look at and what's happening. Of hundreds of letters that claimed to have been written by Ripper, there were only a couple that were believed to be real. There's only a handful. The Dear Boss letter and the Saucy Jackie were the ones that were thought to be from a journalist. But my thought on that was, how? Because the journalist knew shit. If it was supposed to be a journalist, they couldn't even verify that it was a journalist. They just suspected that it was to get, like, circulation on papers. How would they know? Because these things were postmarked and delivered. Like, the first one that I've got the Dear Boss, the Saucy Jack postcard, and the From Hell here that I'll read. But the Dear Boss letter was delivered before, I think, Edo's body was found. And something is mentioned in here about that. And the Saucy Jack postcard referenced the double event, and it was also postmarked before the double event was found. So how would he know that?
Unless he did it.
Exactly. And why do you just discount a journalist when it could have been anybody? It seems weird that you're going to have hundreds of people that you think could potentially be it, and you're questioning everybody, but you leave that one out.
That is strange.
But the the Dear Boss letter, these letters were sent to media outlets first. These two were sent to media outlets first, and then the media outlets then sent it to the police. But the Dear Boss letter goes, Dear Boss, I keep hearing the police have caught me, but they won't fix me just yet. I have laughed when they look so clever and talk about being on the right track, and he underlined right. That joke about leather apron gave me real fits. I am down on whores, and I shan't quit ripping them till I get buckled. Grand work the last job was. I gave the lady no time to squeal. How can they catch me now? I love my work and want to start again. You will soon hear of me with my funny little games. I saved some of the proper red stuff in a ginger beer bottle over the last job to write with, but it went thick like glue and I can't use it. He underlined the red. Red ink is fit enough, I hope. Ha ha. And he underlined the ha ha. The next job I do, I shall clip the lady's ears off and send to police officers just for jolly, wouldn't you? That actually happened.
Well, that seemed like it's probably legit.
Keep this letter back till I do a bit more work, then give it out straight. My knife's so nice and sharp, I want to get to work right away if I get a chance. Good luck. Yours truly, Jack the Ripper. Don't mind giving me a trade name, because he just named himself. P.S. Wasn't good enough to post this last before I got all the red ink off my hands. Curse it. No luck yet. They say I'm a doctor now. Ha ha. And he underlined the ha ha on that. So, if this isn't him, how did he know some of that stuff? Because ears were cut off on the next person, and this hadn't been released when that happened.
If it wasn't him, it'd have to be someone who was intimate with the investigation, such as a police officer, some sort of investigator, law enforcement, reporter.
Or who knew the killer.
Or who knew the killer.
I mean, he could have been assisting or there, or like in the From Hell movie, it could have been like the carriage driver that was taking him everywhere that was writing these letters. You don't know. But I think it maybe don't just automatically throw it out and discredit it because you think a journalist wrote it. Because that seems kind of detailed. And to talk about saving blood from the last victim to write a note with, and that you're going to cut their ears off.
And then it happens.
The next one. And they say these two are from the same person because the handwriting was similar. So if it is the killer and he's sending it, well, you've got more than one. See, it doesn't make sense that you're just going to discredit these. This is the Saucy Jack postcard.
Saucy.
I was not coddling, dear old boss, when I gave you the tip. You'll hear about Savvy Jack's work tomorrow. Or no, it says Saucy Jack's. Sorry, I can't read my own handwriting. Double event this time. Number one squealed a bit, couldn't finish straight off. Had not time to get ears off for police. Thanks for keeping last letter back till I got to work again. Jack the Ripper. So the first one, you remember, her throat was slit. But the second one was mutilated and her earlobe was cut off, but it got lost in the dress.
Mm. Yeah.
So he was going to do it, but he got lost in the dress and he didn't have time to get the earlobe before the body was discovered. So how can you say that's not the killer?
Well, I think we went through those scenarios, but I mean, why would anybody else do that?
Right. Why? I mean, it just, you're going to have glory hounds, and you found even then you had a glory hound saying they were doing it, because a lot of them were obvious hoaxes. Some of the letters that were said to have been from him. And then you had letters coming in from people telling the police how to do their job. You know, you're not catching this guy fast enough. Try this. You know, it's just, it's ridiculous. And this, and like I said, they thought those two were hoaxes by journalists, but it is, handwriting comparisons were done, and those two were pretty close. Because a lot of the letters didn't survive. And a lot of evidence didn't survive because there was a fire. Mm. So they still have some stuff, but they don't have everything that they had. And the From Hell letter. This one, they are as sure as they can be, I guess, that the Ripper wrote this one. And it starts off, it says From Hell. It says, Mr. Lusk. This has so many spelling errors. I mean, this makes me look like a spelling bee champion. Sir is spelled S-O-R.
Was he drunk?
I don't know. I'll tell you the spelling errors after this and how they spelled them. I send you half the kidney I took from one woman, preserved it for you, took her piece, I fried it and ate it. It was very nice. I may send you the bloody knife that took it out if you only wait a while longer. Signed, catch me when you can, Mr. Lusk. They think this one's pretty good for him because he didn't sign it Jack the Ripper. Because he didn't give himself that name. And some of them that were signed, that came in, were not signed Jack the Ripper. But you've got kidney, spelled K-I-D-N-E. And woman, he actually has women. And preserved, wow. P-R-A-S-A-R-V-E-D. That's not right, is it?
No.
And then the after he says preserved it for you, to her piece, it's T-O-T-H-E-R. I have no idea what that was even supposed to be, so I just made it sound right when I was reading it. No idea. And then, wait, W-A-T-E. And then Mr., he spelled it M-I-S-H-T-E-R.
God.
Yes, this is way worse than me. Like, he seriously...
But the other letters didn't have as many misspellings, correct?
They did not. But if you're wanting to throw somebody off the track of making you think you're educated, wouldn't you mess it up?
Yeah, I mean, but you would have thought he would have done that with the other letters, too.
This letter was, in fact, sent with half a kidney. And it was a human kidney. And it was believed to be one of the victim's kidneys. I can't remember which one.
So he took the organs as trophies?
Or ate them. Because like he said in that letter, he fried it and ate it. So he could have taken some of those organs and ate them. Okay. And this is actually one of the ones that's really believed to be one of the handful of actual letters that he wrote in. And this letter, unlike the other letters, was hand-delivered to Lusk personally.
Okay.
The other ones were sent to media outlets, newspapers, and shit like that. This one was hand-delivered to him. And it wasn't signed Jack the Ripper. And they think that he didn't sign it that way because he thought the name was stupid and didn't like it. So, there you have it.
Even more confusing.
It is more confusing. I think, honestly, I think all the letters could be from him, and it could be that he's trying to throw people off by the misspellings and that stuff. It just...
Yeah, I guess if you go through the potential suspects, you know, that you know of, you know, H.H. Holmes definitely you could say is one of them, but I think it's unlikely. I don't think serial killers change their style and MO that much.
Yeah, and he didn't leave his bodies out in the open like that.
And really, he was more of a con artist that I think killed for profit. But, you know, the strange thing is, the serial killer just doesn't stop because they stop. Now, it could have been that he was sick and he died, or he got killed and whatever, you know, and that's why it stopped. Or it could be that, yeah, I think there was probably targets that needed to be taken out. Mm-hmm. And the way to make it look like there's a madman on the loose is to kill more than just those people.
I don't know that I believe to the point that the, you know, the From Hell movie is trying to make you believe that the Crown Prince of England married a prostitute and had a baby.
No, there was
and the five hookers that were killed were ones that was
organized crime and stuff.
Well, yeah, but I don't know if I go that far into the tinfoil conspiracy.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have seen something they weren't supposed to. And that could be why the royal family had them killed. If that's even a viable theory. They could have been in the wrong place at the wrong time, and then one of them told the rest of them, and then they all knew too much.
But they definitely, in my opinion, had to have some sort of knowledge of anatomy.
Oh, they had to.
And how to use a blade quickly. And subdue somebody pretty quick. So definitely somebody with experience or with a lot of practice. Now, that doesn't mean it had to be a doctor or a medical person or a, you know, whatever. It could have been someone who just studied these things on their own.
Or, you know, it could have been somebody that wanted, like you were saying, to go to medical school but couldn't afford it because they weren't in the right class. So they just practiced on prostitutes.
Yeah. I mean, I think all of those are viable. I don't think we'll ever know. And it doesn't seem like the police helped themselves out much either. You know, I mean, in my opinion, I guess, you know, you could have set up an operation where maybe you could have trapped this person into.
How, though?
I don't know.
Because he bounced from London to Whitechapel to another area that was close to Whitechapel. And he didn't, I mean, there could have been a week or two in between him. And I just don't think they had enough cops to be able to watch every dark corner that they had and every prostitute, because there were 1,200 or plus prostitutes.
Yeah, but he definitely had patterns and stuff you could latch onto. I mean, if that's to be believed, anyway.
Well, I mean, the pulling the intestines out and taking them over the right shoulder, the slit throat. I think he's good for more than five.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm not even 100% positive two of those five are his. Because Mary Kelly was just, I mean, God. I can't even think of a word for it.
Yeah, I can't either.
And then the one that just had her throat cut. Mm-hmm. You don't know that those two are his, but you know, if it's to be believed the Saucy Jack postcard, then it was him. And that one was his, and
and he could have been interrupted.
Right, and that was also the first and only time that we know of that he did a double in a night. And it could be that he got so pissed off that he couldn't finish his ritual with the first one that he then grabbed the second one to do it. And I can only think if Mary Kelly was his, the only reason she was in the shape she was is because it was in a room and he had all the time in the world to do it. And it probably took him all night to do everything that was done to her. It would have had to have.
Yeah. What do you guys think? I mean, it's definitely something that still baffles people to this day. There's still controversy over it. There's still discussions about it. I think it's something we can learn from. But I don't think we'll ever solve it definitively.
Well, no, because the evidence that's left, because they do have some of the letters and some clothing from the victims that are left. They've tried, you know, the DNA testing and stuff on it. And they, like I said, they got results off of one. But you can't say for sure that it's him.
Right.
Because of everybody that's handled that stuff over the years. And then the stuff that would actually have like his potential DNA on it, like the stamps and the envelopes from saliva, there was no way to preserve that then to make sure the DNA would still be usable now.
Right.
Because they would have had to have, like, ziplocked baggied that shit.
Well, I think that wraps that up. That was really good. That was a lot of work. I think we'll get ready to go into our next one here. It'll be on Helltown, Ohio.
Yeah, and the last week of Halloween is just, what did we decide to call that week?
I haven't decided on a name yet. I'm still working on it.
But we do hope to have, like, an all Halloween themed one on to drop on Halloween, like Halloween murders and stuff like that.
So tune in. There's more fun to come. If you guys have any ideas, please shoot us an email.
Yeah, or do the voice message thing through Anchor. I'm not really sure how to do that, but I'm sure Anchor can walk you through it or something.
Yeah, there's a tutorial on it.
So thanks for listening. See you next time. Bye.